Hi guys.
Welcome back to the Unraveling the World podcast.
So on this week's episode, we're joined by Senator Gopal, and we will cover his journey into politics and government. So Senator Gopal, if you quickly want to introduce yourself and just give an introduction to who you are.
Sure, it's good to be with both of you on your podcast. I am state senator representing Central New Jersey, Monmouth County. I'm in my third term in the Senate. I served last year as chair of the South, the AAPI caucus, privileged to be the first South Asian American in the New Jersey Senate. I currently chair the Senate Education Committee, and I also serve as a Senate Majority Conference Leader.
Yeah. So could you share your journey into politics and what motivated you to run for Senate in 2017 in the first place?
Sure. I was always interested in government and politics, like most South Asian families, which a lot of South Asian families focused on medicine, engineering, business. This wasn't really in the sphere, but I was really never actually very good at the other things. I would try really hard at math and science, and it just didn't come naturally to me. English and history, communications. I was always interested in what was on the news networks on CNN and MSNBC and Fox, and I'd read about a lot happening in politics. So I got more and more interested in that. When I was in college, I started studying political science. I went to a lot of the anti-war rallies that were happening when the war in Iraq was happening in high school, and just got more and more interested in the ties between public policy and history. Graduated, went into business, joined a union, and learned a lot about union politics, learned a lot about local town politics, volunteered and worked on different political campaigns. I ran for office in my early 20s, and I lost. I lost by a really big margin. And that helped teach me a lot about how to be successful in politics. So eventually I ran, as you said, in 2017 and was fortunate to be successful.
Yeah. So can you talk about what motivates you on a personal level to like continue serving the community? And how do you stay connected with the needs and aspirations of your constituents?
Sure. I love government. I love how government works. I love trying to solve problems for residents, whether it's a local constituent issue with their health care or their pension or something more complicated and trying to create a new legislation that impacts them and their family. I give my cell number out to just about every constituent, so I've got residents calling me at all times a day about different issues, different ideas, and I really enjoy it.
So you mentioned how you were unsuccessful at first, but then in 2017, you were successful and won. What specific initiatives do you think led you to that success during your campaign?
You know, when you run the first time, you know, a lot of people enter politics because they're really successful in some other aspect of life, and they think that skill set is transferable. It's really not. Politics is, you can have really successful people that don't do well in politics because you have to learn your own type of skill set. You have to learn how to communicate with voters. Voters used to be very impressioned by the media, and now there's not a lot of local media. There's not a lot of local newspapers. A lot is driven by social media. Getting your name recognition up is not easy, especially in a state legislative level. Voter turnout is still, you know, fairly low. In my last election, it was about 30%. So it's, you know, people are still not fully educated. People all the time ask me, you know, how often do I go to Washington? And I tell them I'm not, I'm a state senator. I go to Trenton. Federal U.S. senators or Cory Booker or Bob Menendez. And so it's a lot of education. And I think that's the hardest. People that are involved in politics or even when I talk to younger people who are really engaged, they just assume everybody's that engaged. And unfortunately, that's not the case, especially as people get older and they have families and jobs and things get busy, or maybe they just didn't have early habits of voting. We see that. I see people every day and I'll look them up on their voter history and, you know, they rarely vote. They'll vote once every 4 years for president, but that's about it. Which is why we've passed a lot of bills to try to encourage voting habits at an early age, because usually when you can start getting people to vote earlier, they'll follow that pattern throughout life.
Yeah. So can you just talk about how we can increase voter education in your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see, you know, we're doing voter registration at motor vehicles. We're doing a lot more. We've passed a lot of laws to make voting easier. I had a bill to expand vote by mail, to expand early voting, so you can vote up to 10 days prior to the general election anywhere in the county. We've really done a lot of things to increase voting, and now it's just really continuing to encourage people to make their voice heard.
Yeah, so aside from voting, your legislative initiatives focus on like education, local businesses, property tax rebates, and mental health services. Could you elaborate on like a specific legislation that you worked on that you're particularly proud of and how it's impacted your community?
Sure, so I was proud during COVID, the COVID vaccine, COVID virus, a lot of people were obviously not in person. And as a result, people weren't able to get their mental health services and their therapy services. So I was proud to have a bill to do pay parity on telemedicine, so folks could virtually get their telemedicine services. If they were seeing a therapist, or if they were having a doctor's appointment where obviously a doctor didn't have to feel or touch them, they could do it virtually, and health insurance companies would be required to cover them. So I was really proud of that bill, and that was one that I think helped tens of thousands of New Jerseyans, because they were able to see their therapy sessions not get canceled during COVID, and insurance still covered them.
Yeah. Can you talk about how you envision leaving a lasting impact on the community in New Jersey, and what exactly, what legacy would you like to create through your public service?
I'd like to make mental health funding and access more, not just normal, but more easier to understand for everybody. I've talked a lot on the Senate floor about my own challenges with mental health and depression over the years. It's really important to break the stigma and make sure that across our 600 school districts that every child has access to proper mental health care.
Yeah. So throughout your journey, could you share a particular challenging decision that you had to make in your career, or an obstacle you faced and how you've navigated through it?
Yeah, I've had a number of pieces of legislation that just have not worked out or takes a lot longer. I had a bill just now on expanding Montessori education, which I thought was very important. We got it through the Assembly, through the Senate. Unfortunately, the governor just vetoed it today, so we have to start again next week in the new legislative session and try to convince them to get on board. So just various pieces of legislation that you kind of negotiate and go back and forth on to see where you can get to.
What advice do you have for young adults students who want to work in the government or have positions like you have?
Make sure to intern, make sure to get different experiences. Don't always try to do what you think you want to do. Try different opportunities. An internship's only a couple months. When I was in high school and college, I interned on at the federal level, at the state level, at the county level, on political campaigns. All of that really helped shape a lot of different experiences for me. I think it's important that everybody try to intern and try to gain different experiences to see what you enjoy, not just simply to put it on a college letter, but to actually see the experience.
Yeah. Do you look to anyone as a source of inspiration throughout your whole journey?
Yeah, I have a lot of people. I used to go every year to India to visit my grandparents. They passed a couple years ago, but I'd visit them every year. And my grandmother was always somebody who's never spoke bad about anybody. Was always just a very good and decent, pious person. So I look up to her.
Yeah. And what stands out to you about New Jersey in comparison to the other states?
New Jersey is really an incredible place. We have proximity to New York and Philadelphia, great school system, quality jobs, quality of life. I always, kind of joke that people always talk about moving to Florida and North Carolina and South Carolina, but they usually do that after their kids leave the school system, because they don't want to raise their kids for the most part in those states. So while we have challenges and it's an expensive state, we have to do more, we really get a lot out of here. We get a lot in our communities, and it's really a beautiful place, and it's the most diverse state in the country. It's the most densely populated state in the country, and it's a state that I think is going to continue to be on the rise.
Yeah, And as a final question for our podcast, we wanted to ask you if you could share a piece of advice or life lesson that has been particularly impactful for you in your journey.
Just to work hard. On my first campaign in 2017, I knocked on, almost 7,000-8,000 doors. Some of the doors were hard. People told me that I couldn't win in my district being Indian American because the district, Indian American population, the district was about 1%. It's about 85% white. That's a little lower now. It's closer to 75, but the rest was black and Hispanic. And so I had folks actually openly saying, oh, an Indian candidate, Indian American candidate can't win here. And, they can win up in Edison and Indian areas, but not here. I enjoyed, really proving a lot of people wrong. We worked hard and flipped a seat and did it through a great coalition of folks in different communities, including big Italian-American community I have in my town in Long Branch, as well as the Portuguese community and a lot of other communities here in Monmouth County that helped get me that election and two elections since then.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time and answering our questions. We really appreciate your insight and your valuable time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. You too. Bye.